I haven't been in this particular vein of revelation in a while. It started rolling out. What we're going to preach today, the whole early church, the church that you know as the church, was born out of this operation. It's one of the most misunderstood operations because we understand it in part. If we'll understand the whole, how God birthed the early church, the church that we're a part of, he's going to do it again. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the revelation. We thank you for the blueprint. Father, we thank you for the church, how it was birthed, the power that it was birthed in, the glory that it was birthed in, the blueprint that it was birthed from. We thank you. You will do it again in this hour. You will do it again. You will do it again. Holy Spirit, open the eyes of our understanding today. Open the eyes of our heart today. Let us see through your words today. In the glorious name of Jesus, amen. Jude 1, I said, Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly, say earnestly, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the early church. Now the church, even in the early church, had gotten away from the power and the glory that it was birthed in. And Jude was trying to get them back into that. Said, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the early church. Now we know that came out of Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost fell upon the church and the power of God fell upon the church. And we've all heard about the Azusa that was rebirthed in the early 1900s. And what God's doing, he's in restoration mode since really the dark ages of the church when Martin Luther kind of awakened the church with salvation, justification by faith, because the church had gotten away from that. And then all of a sudden you see God in restoration mode. You see the historical churches, the ministry of pastor, it was reestablished. The ministry of evangelists in the 1800s was reestablished. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit fell out again in the early 1900s at Azusa Street. God restoring. And then we see the healing movements of the 50s and then the charismatic movement of the 70s and 80s when the office of the teacher, and I know it was a charismatic movement, but the offices were restored. Anytime God is restoring something, sometimes it's a little messy in the beginning, but then it comes online. Amen. It's just like a birth. It might be messy in the beginning, but it becomes beautiful very fast. Hallelujah. It becomes, everyone look at your neighbor and say, it's going to become beautiful. Glory to God. And then in the 90s, the prophetic movement. All of this is restoring. Listen, there was a day that you couldn't just get born again, baptize the Holy Ghost, and get your knee healed all in one day. But in this day and hour, you can get born again, you can get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you can get healed all in the same day. You can get that all in the same day. But it took God 500 years to get that back into the earth. See, 500 years, but he's not done. God is going to restore it all. Hallelujah. He's going to bring it all back into the earth. The glory of God will restore into the earth. He will not come back for a powerless bride. He will come back. She will be in full glory. Full bloom, full glory, full power. Hallelujah. But to do that, he's going to restore everything. All of it. Hallelujah. It makes me believe this is what's on his mind for this hour we're living in. The way God has worked with us, he'd give us a revelation of something. And when he gave the revelation, it would come in with such power, you think it was going to happen that day. But he gives you the revelation so you can carry it, keep it, grow it, nurture it. But then there comes a day for it to come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah forever. So I want you to look at this second scripture here. I'm going to look at what I call the threefold apostolic witness. The church was birthed through three predominant witnesses. And you're a part of that witness. Man was a part of that witness. The Word was the second witness. The Holy Ghost was the third witness. Every witness had a part. All three of them together had an explosion. Amen. If we only look for one witness, we're going to have a partial move of God. We have to have the full witness of heaven and the full witness of earth. Amen. And when he began in Acts chapter 1, he said in verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart Jerusalem. This is when he left them. He said, now you wait. Say, wait. He said, don't go out, go reach the world. Wait until you be endued with power. Amen. Wait for the promise. The Father's going to send it. The Father's going to send it. Wait for it. He says, and you shall receive. Now, we're very familiar with this verse. Power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And notice what he says, to be my witnesses. Say, witnesses. Now, if you understand, when he was speaking of witnesses there, he wasn't just talking about witnessing. Although witnessing is a fundamental operation of the body of Christ, he was talking about witnesses. Now, there's a difference between witnessing and witnesses. What's the difference? One of them has an ing and the other one has an es. But there's a huge difference between the two. Because you understand something. God was shifting covenant. He was bringing in a brand new operation, a brand new covenant. He was asking everybody, say, listen, this is what it was. This is what it is. So when God comes and brings something that is and he establishes, he's going to do it with power. He's going to back it up. He's not going to just come to the world in word only. He's going to bring power with it. He's going to bring glory with it. He's going to bring demonstration with it. And he does that for a reason. You have to understand, he's shifting the whole nation to a brand new covenant. He was not going to do a light thing here. For God to do this, he had to legally shift it. Amen? Everything God does, he does in a legal framework. Amen? Not legalistic, but a legal framework. Amen? If you understand what I'm going to say to you today, you're going to understand the power of God that's going to reemerge in the church. Amen. Let's look again here. We're going to begin here with the eyewitness. This is the first testimony. Say the eyewitness. The eyewitness is different than a witness. Amen. How many of you have ever just witnessed to somebody about the Lord? Raise your hand. You told somebody the Lord. See, you're witnessing. That's a fundamental tenet of the gospel of the kingdom of God. The eyewitness is different. Now, the eyewitness. Now, let's read here a minute and we'll get into it. Look at Acts 1. We'll just start in verse 2. He says, until the day in which he was taken up after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom he showed himself alive. Say, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs being seen of them for 40 days. See, there was a 40 day to the time he was taken up. There was 40 days between that and the Holy Ghost. And he was seen of them. On more than one occasion, Peter saw him 6 different times in a resurrected state. Say, resurrected state. So when he took me over this, Holy Ghost took me to Luke 24. He wanted me to see something about this particular verse. This is when the Lord kind of walked into the room. They're all wondering what happened. The women had come to the apostles and said, listen, he's alive. And they didn't even believe him. Hey, how many of you know the women were the first ones to see the Lord? You know, the first one was Mary Magdalene. 7 devils got cast out of the woman. She was the first one to see him in a resurrected state. He said, touch me not, Mary. I've not ascended to my Father. But go tell your brethren, I ascend to my Father, and now he's your Father. Say, he's my Father. Jesus did that for us. Jesus did that for us. Reconciled us to the Father. She was the first to see him. Then the other women saw him, and then they went to the mighty apostles. Say, the mighty apostles. You know, the men. Oh, the men. They walked in there and said, he's alive, he's alive. And they did not believe him. He had to come in and rebuke them for not receiving the testimony of the women. Now look at Luke 24. There's a reason why he did this. When you read the word, don't just read it. Read it with the lenses of the Holy Spirit. You got to read it with a revelation. See, if you first read it, yeah, he just showed himself alive. He said, touch me, let's eat. That's how your mind reads it. When you read it with the Holy Ghost, there's a reason why he said, touch me. There's a reason why he said, let's eat. Now, he is in a resurrected state when he walks through the room. He had been raised from the dead. And he comes in, and let's look at this, Luke 24. He said, verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened. I mean, they just saw him crucified. Then there he is standing in a resurrected state. And they supposed they had seen a spirit. Now, that's very important. They thought they were looking at a ghost, looking at a spirit, looking at a vision. See, when the Lord was establishing the testimony of the church, one-third of that testimony was man's testimony. The testimony of the apostles and everybody around them. So he had to make sure they knew, you're not seeing a spirit here. That's not the testimony you're giving to the world. I'm going to establish the fact that it is I'm standing here in front of you in a resurrected state. So what's he do? He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do your thoughts arise in your heart? Well, duh. I mean, you are standing here in a resurrected state in front of us. You know, you were dead 3 days ago, and here you are. I mean, give me a little bit of emotional release here. Now, he said, look at this, verse 39, behold my hands. Say, behold my hands and my feet. It is me. And then he said, handle me. See, handle me and see. Say, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. He said, touch me. I want you to understand you're not seeing a vision. I want you to understand you're not seeing a spirit. I want you to understand that I am standing in front of you in a resurrected state. Why was he doing that? He was establishing their testimony. What I say, God was about to do something that was going to shake the whole world. And he was going to do it in a legal sense. Now, notice what else he said. He didn't stop there. He said, why is this important? I'll tell you here in a second. And he showed them his hands and their feet. He says, have you any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. And he took it and he ate before them. Now, he did this several different times. He ate with them in a resurrected state. How would you like the Lord to walk into your kitchen? I mean, what would you do if he's sitting there at the table? I mean, at one point in time when they were on the Sea of Tiberias, Peter threw himself in the water, and Jesus, when they came, he got to the land. Jesus had fish already prepared. Jesus, the resurrected Christ, prepared a meal in a resurrected state. God, you had to know that fish was good. Oh, my God. You know he knows how to cook. But why was he doing it? What was the purpose of it? Why did he eat with him? Why did he say, touch me? Because he was establishing a legal precedence of their testimony in the earth. Now, if you were, let's say you're married, use on an example, let's say that I witness a wreck. And the officer said, listen, you're going to have to go to court because there's a variance between what they're saying and happened, what you say happened, but you're an eyewitness, so you're going to go to the court. And so that day I couldn't go, but I'd send my wife, because we're one, I'd send her, I said, just go and just tell them what I saw. Tell them what I saw. What do you think the judge would do with that? He'd dismiss it. Why? It's not legal testimony. Now, your testimony with God is a testimony of faith. We all know that Lord. How many of you know the Lord lives in you? How many of you know the Lord's real? You probably wouldn't be in this church if you didn't know the Lord was real. It's a testimony to the world, but there's a difference, especially into heaven, between our testimony in the world and a legal eyewitness testimony. Say eyewitness. It's the highest form of testimony given to man. God's been doing it since the days of Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Old Testament, New Testament. In fact, if you study the Bible, every single apostle in the New Testament church saw the Lord in an eyewitness state. Say every one of them. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said he was seen of all the apostles. In fact, the entire upper room saw the Lord when Peter was standing there, giving testimony of what happened when the Holy Ghost fell. He said, we are all standing here, eyewitnesses of what has happened this day. We all represent the Lord had appeared to all of them. Said he had appeared to 500 brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, say 500. At one time, 500 people saw the Lord standing. Say 500. Why did he do that? Because it was the highest testimony given to man. It wasn't for their faith. God calls you to believe in faith. In fact, he rebuked Thomas because he didn't believe. He wasn't giving it to them for their faith. He was giving it to them for their testimony. And that testimony must restore again. A lot of people say, well, the apostles have passed away. Because they know every single New Testament apostle saw the Lord. Even Paul was called outside of the original 12. He was called outside and given the exact same thing they were given. He saw the Lord in person in a resurrected state. So a lot of doctrines emerge and say, well, that's why all of this has passed away with the apostles, because he's no longer appearing anymore. Wrong. Look at your neighbor and say, wrong. He's going to be appearing again, because he's going to reestablish that testimony as he reestablishes the apostolic office in the last days. There's going to be appearances again. Well, the Lord Jesus himself is going to appear before his apostles and everybody around them. Why? Because he's reestablishing the highest form of testimony given to man. How do you know that? All you got to do is run up into the book of Revelation. You see the two eyewitnesses. They were eyewitnesses. And then you see the 144,000 eyewitnesses standing with him. He reestablished. So he begins with the eyewitness. He ends with the eyewitness. Before his church is taken out of this earth, he's going to restore everything from the beginning. It's not enough to just have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It must come with witness. Say the witness. Even Jesus told the disciples, he said, you will be witnesses of these things, and so also shall my Holy Spirit. He said that several times. We'll get to that here in about 15, 20 minutes. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, when he was standing with 144,000 witnesses, I think it's chapter 14. It's 11 or 14. I haven't been there in a while. When he's standing with them on Mount Zion, now get this picture. The Lord Jesus is standing with 144,000 witnesses. And they're about to get commissioned in a commissioning service. He's commissioning them for the final 3.5 years of the tribulation age. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, I'm not going to be there. And he's standing with them on Mount Zion. And all of a sudden, get this picture, they're standing on the mountain and these angels come up out of heaven and they're circling around. Three massive angels are flying around the 144,000. One of them said he had the everlasting gospel to preach. The second one comes out and he was saying, Babylon has fallen, Babylon has fallen. The third one comes out and says, take not the mark of the beast, take not the mark of the beast. What was happening there? The Lord was commissioning in person, establishing the final testimony, establishing the eyewitness of the final 144,000 that would get released into the tribulation age, the final great tribulation. And they would have, in those angels that were flying around them, it's a phenomenal chapter. One of them had the everlasting gospel, and somebody said, well, the angels are going to preach the gospel. No, they're not. Angels don't preach the gospel. Men preach the gospel. But that was their message. Their first message had the everlasting gospel. The second message, they were going to decree the fall of Babylon, the Babylonian system. And the third message, it was going to be, take not the mark of the beast. You do not have to worry about the mark of the beast. Do not be afraid of that. You're going to be long gone. But that was their messages that they were going to bring to the final church age. But that was done under an eyewitness ordination. By the Lord himself. He begins the church in the eyewitness. He ends the church from the eyewitness. The Gentile church is going to have its witness too. when he reforges the apostolic office. Listen, he's not going to just restore the apostolic office in part. He has to restore it as a whole. Do you know the guy named Matthias? He's located in Acts chapter 1. He took Judas's place. You remember? In Acts chapter 1, they had to find a 12th apostle. And they found Matthias, and they cast lots, they found Matthias. You know what his qualification was? It says it very clearly. He said, one must have been with us from the days of the baptism of John, when the Holy Ghost fell, all the way to the time he was taken up from us. One must be ordained to bear witness of the resurrection. One of the chief fundamental operations of the apostolic office is to bear witness, eyewitness testimony of his resurrection, the highest testimony given to man. And that testimony will be restored in this hour. He cannot restore the office of the apostle if he doesn't restore the testimony. He said, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. See, with great power. It was the Holy Ghost when he came down out of heaven, see. He was adding himself to their witness. Why? Because he was there to confirm what they were saying. When God gets ready to shake something up, he'll anoint somebody. He'll anoint an office. He'll anoint a group of people. When he anoints it, the Holy Ghost will come alongside that and confirm what they're saying. He'll confirm it. They weren't just going to go take the gospel to the world and say, we've seen them. He said, no, you're going to go with power. Wait for my Holy Spirit to come. You'll be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power what? To be my witnesses. When you go and you say, listen, he's not dead. He's very much alive. We have seen him. Say, we've seen him. You remember when Moses standing at the burning bush? God, he said he saw, he didn't want to look at the face of God in the fire. God was standing there in the fire. And he didn't want to, Moses would not look at his face. He said, take off your shoes, this holy ground. And God said, you go tell them the I am have sent you. Go tell them. He said, wait a minute. You're standing in front of me in the burning bush. You want me to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go? He said, yep. Tell him. Tell him. Tell them you've seen me. Tell them that I am have sent you. Anybody want Moses' calling? Going once, going twice. Yeah, tell them, go before the most powerful man in the world. And tell him, let my people go. And who told you this? Moses? Well, he called himself the I am. He was talking to me in a burning bush. Seen many like you before. Yeah. See, God's not going to do that without backing it up. Moses goes, what if they don't believe me? God said, I'm glad you asked. Take that rod in your hand. I'll do signs. I'll do wonders. I will break the back of Egypt with signs, miracles, and wonders. God is a confirming God. And for God to restore the fullness of all things, this office must be restored. The testimony must be restored. The eyewitness testimony must be restored. Listen, somebody can say all day, I've seen the Lord. But somebody gets ordained and the Lord shows himself for the restoration of the testimony of God. And the Holy Ghost comes alongside of it. He's going to bring a demonstration. He is going to bring a power that's undeniable. It'll make the religious head swim. What just happened? Peter's first message, 3,000 people born again. That's a mega church already. Second message, 5,000 born again. Double mega church in two messages. He didn't do no Hollywood, Madison Avenue advertisement campaign. The Holy Ghost had fallen. But the Holy Ghost was standing next to their testimony. Because he said, now you go tell them what you've seen and heard here. Tell them. Say, tell them. You've seen me. Listen, When you preach the gospel, I'm telling you, listen to me, this gospel is going to be preached like this in the last hour. God's not going to be appearing to man to solidify their salvation. He requires you believe without seeing. He's appearing to man for the testimony. Amen? That's witness number one. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good stuff. Witness number two, the word. Notice this. Go to Acts 1. Now, you have to understand, Acts was written by Luke, so Luke's given both accounts. He says kind of the same thing. That's what in Acts 1, he says like this, verse 3. To whom he showed himself alive. We're looking at the bottom of page 1. Glory to God. To whom he showed himself alive after this passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Now, notice this. So he's seen it. That's the phase one. In speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, the Lord started unloading revelation. Now, we don't understand what he said there until we look at Luke 24, what really happened. So we go back to Luke 24. Amen. Now, let's see what he actually said to them. So he establishes his witness. Now, watch what happens in verse 44. And he said unto them, and so he first, they eat together. He said, touch me. He's established their testimony. He said, listen, you guys are about to shake the world. But it's not going to be you. It's my Holy Spirit. But he's going to be added to your testimony. So we're going to get this right. I want to make sure you know you've seen me. Now watch what he does. He said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Now he's talking to them in a resurrected state. Now watch what happens. And which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that he might understand the scripture. Boy, do we need that in this hour. In the open hour. He was right there. He did it himself. He sent his Holy Spirit to do it for us now. But he stood in there. In 40 days, he walked them through the Bible. How'd you like the Lord in a resurrected state to walk you through the Bible 40 days? Oh, my. He opened the book of Moses. He opened the prophets and he opened the Psalms. What do you think their messages were when they came out of the gate? Preaching. It was the messages the Lord gave. The first thing Peter talked about. He said, listen, this book of Joel right here, I'm going to pour out my spirit. That's what's about to happen. He showed him that. That's the first message. Peter comes out of the gate. It was written in the book of Joel. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions. That's me. Your old men will dream dreams. Your old men will dream dreams. Amen. I see visions. So he opens the book of Joel. They see, but then Peter's second message, he starts preaching out of Psalm 16 and Psalms 110. Both of those psalms were expressly written about the resurrection Christ into the right hand of the Father. And the authority he received at his resurrection. And Peter comes out of the gate. Those messages were directly given to Peter by the Lord himself in a resurrected state. When he said, now this is the message. And he comes out of the gate. He preaches one of the messages of the Lord himself because he opened the Psalms to him. Said he did. And so he comes out with the Psalms. He said, this was speaking, not of David, because his body saw corruption. But he's speaking of the Christ who will never see corruption, who's sitting at the right hand of God. Oh, I would say, oh, glory to God forever. When he was done preaching, 3,000 people born again. You don't have that kind of power. Fresh out of the gate without the Holy Ghost. Look at the witness, their witness. So we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. The second witness, the word. This word was witnessing his resurrection. That was the fundamental. It says, "You, these apostles have turned the world upside down, bringing this doctrine to us." You know what the doctrine of the apostle is? The fundamental doctrine of the apostle is the eyewitness testimony of the resurrection. That is the fundamental doctrine of the apostolic office. So the eyewitness, the word, and now the Holy Ghost. Say, now it's time for the Holy Ghost. In the mouth of two or three, God was coming into the earth. The Father said, listen, we're going to shift this covenant. We're going to shift this dispensation. We're going to enter something new they had never seen before. And we're going to do it in the mouth of two. Not only in the mouth of two, but the mouth of three. Three witnesses were coming. Man's eyewitness testimony, the testimony of the Word, and the final testimony was a testimony of the Holy Ghost. Say the Holy Ghost. Listen, this gospel's never going to be complete without Him fully. See, you have to understand something. Everybody wants the Holy Ghost to come in. You have to understand what they were working with. The church has not been fully been restored in. He was working with their testimony. Wait till you can do with power on high. Now look at John 15, verse 26. And when the Comforter's come, that's the Holy Ghost, whom I'll send you in my Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, say, He shall testify of me. And you also shall what? Bear witness. See, He'll testify. You'll bear the witness. How do you think the Holy Ghost testifies? He doesn't testify in words. He testifies in demonstration. He testifies in power. Amen. He's backing up their testimony. Because God, the Lord Jesus, is sent the apostolic office into the earth. And they're saying, listen, He is listen, the world, I don't know if you know this, is growing very dark out there. They don't believe the stuff we're telling them. But there is a level of power that's going to change that. Because they need to see God. Listen, the world needs to see God. The church needs to believe God. The world needs to see. He knows that. What do you think? Everybody was around Jesus for his the depths of his teaching. His own apostles didn't understand him about 90% of the time. I mean, he was speaking at a level from the kingdom of God, which they didn't understand. He was constantly expounding the revelations. What do you think all the other people around them? They were there because of the miracles. They were there because of the power. He was introducing the Father. He was introducing the kingdom of God. God never designed this gospel to be preached without power. Watch this. Look at Acts chapter 5. It says, we are His witnesses of these things. That man, the gate beautiful, was healed 40 years. He'd been laid at that gate. 40 years in a lame state. 40 years. Peter comes by and says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Stand up. And he stood up. And he went walking and leaping and praising the Lord. And everybody saw it, caused such an incredible commotion. The leaders, the Pharisees, oh, the Pharisee spirit will come out very fast when the power of God shows up. Come out and said, by what authority do you do these things? He said, be it known unto you by the authority of the Lord Jesus, whom we have seen. We are eyewitnesses. See, they first gave their testimony, and the Holy Ghost came and backed it up with power. And they said, we cannot deny a notable miracle has been done here. Then they threatened them and says, do not preach in this name. Good luck with that. Peter said, we cannot but preach and teach the things that we have seen and heard. Say, seen and heard. Seen and heard. The fullness of this gospel will not come without the fullness of the apostolic office, its testimony, and its purpose coming to full restoration. You will not have to ask whether the apostolic office is in the earth. You will know it. Cities will know it. Everybody, it'll cause a commotion. It'll cause the gospel of astonishment to return into the earth. They were astonished, said, beyond astonishment. Now here's Peter. He's giving them, they're asking him, this is all about this guy being healed and all this. Verse 27, when they brought him before the council, and the high priest asked him, say, did we not strictly command you should not teach in this name? Behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. What doctrine? That he is alive, and we have seen him. We bear witness, and the Holy Ghost bears witness. He says, and you tend to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter and the other apostles answered, said, we ought to obey God rather than man. For the God, listen to this, watch this. The God of our fathers has raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God with his right hand. Him God has exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sin. Now look at this, verse 32. And we, say we, are eyewitnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost. See that? You see that? When that gets restored, you'll see the power of this gospel come on to full age in the last hour. That testimony will get restored. It's part of God's way. Listen, don't you know before God takes his church out, he's going to give the world one final testimony? Don't you know he's going to take common people and he's going to bring an uncommon gospel to very common people? And he's going to bring the glory and the power of God. He's going to put it on display for the world. God is so merciful. He's going to do it because he desires nobody to go. Listen, the tribulation age is not reserved for the obedient. It's a time of wrath and is reserved for the disobedient, for the unbeliever. But even then, God's going to be witnessing, witnessing, witnessing. More people will get born again in the tribulation age than all ages put together. But that doesn't mean God wants anybody going through it. Listen, you don't want to be here for those 7 years. Those final 3.5 years, do you know what happens? Do you understand that Michael will come and clear the whole second heaven out? It says the devil will be thrown out of the second heaven. He'll be thrown down into the earth and all of his... This is family day, isn't it? I'll be nice. He'll be thrown down into the earth. He said, whoa, into the inhabitants of the earth, the devil's come down to you. He gets thrown out of his estate for 3.5 years. Not a pretty place to be. God is so merciful. He's so loving. He didn't want anybody. Listen, the present state of the church, if the church doesn't come in its full age and we shifted into that hour, and when the church got taken out in its present state, it would be an injustice to the world. Be an injustice. Listen, the world's going to have plenty of opportunity. They are going to see this gospel come and it's going to be demonstrated. God's going to legally demonstrate this gospel. He's going to reestablish the testimony again. And the Holy Ghost is going to add himself to the... once the Lord... Understand this point. Once the Lord gives the eyewitness and he commissions that, the Holy Spirit is bound to that witness to confirm it. That's what he's there for, to confirm that word that's going out. That's why he brings the power. That's why 3,000 gets born again. That's why 5,000 in our age is going to be 50,000, 100,000. Cities being turned upside down. This is going to happen. You might as well know. It's going to happen. You might as well know. The world is very unimpressed with the state of the church right now. But they are about to get what's called a heavenly awakening. God's going to cast his net out of the right hand of God. Where the multitude of fish, when they were sitting in the boat, he said, cast out of the right side. He's going to cast the net again out of the right hand of God. He's going to establish it, I'm telling you. It's part to some of you intercessors in here to hear what I'm saying. You are free to dream with God. We know that we know that we know. This is one message out of about 20 of this area that we've preached on. I have a whole series on it. But the Lord just want to throw this net back out there and say, hey, the time, the season for these things is now. The time, once God starts, my friend, it's not going to stop. You got to know that. Once he kicks this thing in gear, whew, get ready for a ride. Glory to God, I'm not afraid. Everyone looks at your neighbor and say, well, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Get ready, young people. Get ready. God's going to use you. He's going to put the anointing of God on you in ways. He's going to shake the world. He's going to shake the world. God's not going in word only. Paul said, I don't preach the gospel in word only, but I preach it in demonstration and power.